Greetings, everyone, and this is Brother Bedford, and welcome to my Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. And you're about to hear my recorded interview with NBC Donald Trump's apprentice winner, Dr. Randall Pinkett. Enjoy. This is Brother Bedford from HowToBeAblackEntrepreneur.com, and joining me today in conversation is Dr. Randall Pinkett. Many of us know him as the winner of the fourth season of the NBC hit reality TV show with Donald Trump, The Apprentice. Dr. Pinkett has established himself as an entrepreneur, speaker, author, scholar, community servant. He is the co-founder and president and CEO of BCT Partners, a multi-million dollar management, technology, and policy consulting firm based in Newark, New Jersey. He's a sought-after public speaker for corporate, youth, and community groups. Dr. Pinkett has been featured in Black Enterprise and Ebony in their 30 Leaders Under 30 issue. He has been featured in Parade Magazine, The New York Times, The Boston Globe, and he's also appeared in segments on Black Entertainment Television and CNN. And I would advise and encourage everyone to go to his website at www.randallpinkett.com to see the list of his business accolades, his business ventures, and the list of his academic accomplishments. And so today I want to thank you for joining us, the author of Campus CEO, Dr. Randall Pinkett. Thank you, sir, for joining us today.
Thank you, Brother Bedford. Great to be on the program. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. I want to get right to it because I know you have a very hectic schedule, and there's a lot of things that I know that my subscribers and our listeners want to learn from you. So could you first tell us about your experience on The Apprentice?
Absolutely. It was a great experience being on The Apprentice. I was the winner of the fourth season of the show, which was the end of 2005. Spent the year 2006 working with the Trump Organization. I took a leave of absence from my firm, BCT Partners, and I'm very excited that I've returned to BCT full-time in 2007 and have maintained a consulting relationship with the Trump Organization. So the relationship persists, but I'm now able to apply the learnings that I was able to glean from having been both on the show and also having a chance to shadow Donald Trump.
Yes, sir. And that's interesting that you mentioned it because, again, many of us know you as the winner on The Apprentice, the fourth season, but many of us did not know that you had actually already started your own company, and you were an entrepreneur, successful entrepreneur, prior to The Apprentice. So could you tell us, how did you get your start as an entrepreneur?
Absolutely. Well, interestingly, you could argue that my start as an entrepreneur began in childhood, opening up lemonade stands and selling my old toys and a variety of other enterprising activities when I was very young. But I got my first start officially in business when I was in college, when along with my two college roommates, Jeff Robinson and Aldwin Porter, we opened up a compact disc store out of our dormitory and combined that with an education and training operation as well, and actually grew that to a six-figure enterprise within about 7 years. So I've been in and out of the entrepreneurial arena throughout my life, but it was college where I really got my first break.
Great. Well, what were some of the major challenges that you faced? Because there's some things that you point out in Campus CEO that we want to touch on a little bit later, but what were some of the major challenges that you faced in your startups as an entrepreneur?
Well, I faced some of the same challenges that many entrepreneurs face, a lack of financial capital, trying to build relationships that could lead to opportunity. A lot of what I've learned about business is that it really is, based on relationships and mm-hmm. being able to get out there and network and meet people. And when you're just getting started, as was the case for us, we were still trying to establish a track record and establish credibility. So I know for us, our first, across the two companies that I would consider two of my major undertakings, one being the education and training company, our first big break just came through, some might say serendipity, where we were out doing pro bono work at high schools and a young lady went home and told her mother about us, and her mother happened to be an executive at a large nonprofit, and to make a long story short, she hired us for our first big contract, and then for BCT Partners, which is a consulting firm, one of the areas we specialize in is information technology. Our first big contract for BCT was with our church, and when I say our, I'm referring to three of the four founding partners. We all attend First Baptist Church in New Jersey, and the church gave us our first opportunity to do a major project. They knew us, they believed in us, and they bet on us. And from there, we were able to use that project as an example and a reference point for going after projects thereafter. So, those are both examples of when preparation meets opportunity, that it can lead to, it can lead to success.
Okay. Well, what would you say was the key to your preparation for overcoming those challenges? Because a lot of the subscribers that we have, there are some new budding entrepreneurs, but then we have some seasoned entrepreneurs who I get a lot of emails from, and they ask continuously, how do I overcome this obstacle, or how do I overcome this problem or this challenge? So what was the key to you being able to overcome some of those major hurdles?
I think the key for me has been really just having a strong team and surrounding myself with individuals who are like-minded, who are similarly committed and equally talented. That the gentleman that helped establish that compact disc store remains my business partners to this day. Lawrence Hibbert, Jeff Robinson, and Dallas Grundy are all gentlemen that I went to college with at Rutgers and are still owners in BCT Partners to this day. And just having those men around me as a support mechanism, as a motivator, and just being able to create collective positive energy to withstand the challenges and the hurdles and the obstacles that came at us, I could not imagine doing it alone. I just could not imagine doing it by myself.
Right, I see. Now, if you would advise someone who is interested in starting a business, of course, I think the first thing that I would tell them is to go get Campus CEO.
It sounds good to me.
But if you were to advise someone, a new person, and they wanted to get your advice on starting up a business, what would be their first step that they should take?
Interestingly, for me, the first step of getting into business is actually looking within oneself and taking the time to really, really reflect on what it is that you're passionate about, what it is that you love to do and that you would want to do, whether you got paid for it or not. And just that introspection to me is the first and most important step. Now, that's not to suggest that everyone's passion necessarily directly translates into a entrepreneurial opportunity, but it's the beginning of the conversation. I think the subsequent topics of conversation are, what are you good at? It's one thing to be passionate about something, it's another thing to be good at something. And then, third, what is your capacity? Meaning, what kind of money, what kind of relationships, what kind of knowledge, and what kind of insight do you have to different areas? And then last but not least, what does the market suggest is a viable opportunity? Because I could be passionate about fast food, and I could be great at fast food, and I could have the capacity to start a fast food operation, but I might look at my neighborhood and say that's saturated. There's just no opportunities there.
Right.
So the market is the last factor that you have to consider to say, well, where is there something new and innovative that I can capitalize on?
Right. That's great advice. Now, as I've been studying your bio. And just really looking deeply, reading your material in Campus CEO, and really reading your blog, what you put out after there was this big whirlwind of controversy surrounding your decision at the end of The Apprentice. You do not come off as a person who is a staunch competitor. You seem to work in a different mode, kind of cooperatively as opposed to competitively. And I know that a lot of people took your decision at the end of The Apprentice as being a competitive statement, but when I read your blog, it was really just a statement of you embracing the fact that you've worked hard and you've earned that position. And so my question to you is, do you see those as opposing mindsets when you have a competitive mindset as opposed to a cooperative mindset?
Well, that's a great question, and certainly appreciate you doing your homework on my commentary, my blogging, my opinions, after the finale. And I would just echo much of what you said before answering your question, which is that indeed, my statements at that finale were a confident and comfortable assertion of the fact that I believe that I earned the victory, and believe that there was no reason to suggest nor to even ask that title be shared, because again, as you said, I worked very hard, and more to the point, that question had never been posed before, and quite interestingly, has not been posed since.
Right.
But nonetheless, in terms of cooperative versus competitive, I believe that we live in days and times where competition is a good thing, and there will always be competition in business, but it really depends on what your style and your approach to business is and how you choose to conduct yourself. I believe that you can actually be successful, interestingly, through either a competitive or a cooperative model, but it does beg the question, which better aligns with your values and with your principles. And I was an athlete in college, so I know what it means to compete at a certain level, and I compete every day in business. But as far as relationships are concerned, and I'm talking about business relationships, I look at ways that we can make the pie bigger for everyone, as opposed to believing that for me to take more of the pie means that you'll have less.
Wow. I like that. Instead of just taking a slice of the pie, just make the pie bigger. I really do like that. That's great. What was your motivation for writing a book such as Campus CEO, which is, again, is a marvelous book? What was your motivation for writing this book?
Well, my motivation for the book was, first and foremost, wanting to pull together all of the information and resources and advice and tips and strategies that I would have wanted in my hands when I was first getting started in business. And as you know, I started when I was a student. So it is my attempt to give the next generation of entrepreneurs everything that they need in a single resource so that they can, not just follow in my footsteps, but exceed my own accomplishments, as well as those of other entrepreneurs who started when they were students, such as a Bill Gates or a Michael Dell, or the guys from Google or Yahoo, or even a Russell Simmons or a Sean Diddy Combs who started when they were in school as well. So it was just really trying to bring all that information together and say, this is what I would have wanted when I was getting started.
Man, and it's funny that you said just bring all of that information together, because it is a book that's full of a wealth of information and knowledge. When you look at the title, you're just saying Campus CEO, but outside of the campus, every entrepreneur needs to know all of this information as it relates to being a startup business or even a business that's seasoned, particularly the areas. I wanted to ask you about two particular areas. How important is it for an entrepreneur to understand a business model? Many entrepreneurs want to start a business, but they never give serious thought to what type of business model they have or should have. Could you expound on that a little bit?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, the business model is something I talk about in Campus CEO. And in that chapter, I talk about the difference between, vetting or understanding your model against your plan. The plan is something most people are familiar with, which is the written document with all the market research and competitive analysis and financial projections and the like. But the model really distills and describes how your company basically makes money. And that is it's like thinking of a system. So for Amazon.com to make money, I mean, they are able to advertise through internet channels that they have, you know, products and services available. People go to the site, they order, they fulfill that order, and then that's how they make their money. And that's a model. You know, when we did education and training, you know, word of mouth was one of our more powerful mechanisms for advertising, but that would lead to decision makers who would procure our services, and then we would bring facilitators on site to do workshops, and then we get paid, you know, via invoicing, and that was our model for making money. But it's interesting that, you know, you can tweak a model, and you can study other models, and, you know, from, you know, if you look at the internet, you know, banner advertising was a model, subscriptions to a website was a model, you know, free access with, you know, kind of more advanced content on a pay-per access model. That's a different model. So there's lots of different models to making money. It's figuring out what's the best model for what you're trying to do and being really innovative and creative in approaching it.
Wow. And, you know, I guess that kind of links with my next question for you because I see that you're very passionate about technology. How important is it for today's entrepreneur to embrace technology? I look at what you just said about the business model because I also find that a lot of today's entrepreneurs, we kind of operate off of old business models, kind of antiquated business models. So how important is it for today's entrepreneur to embrace technology and incorporate that with more up-to-date business models?
Well, I'll say this. Embracing technology is required for today's entrepreneur. I can't imagine an entrepreneur who endeavors to be successful in the 21st century that does not embrace technology. And that's not just for entrepreneurs who choose to operate in the technology space. That's for any entrepreneur. I don't care if you operate a retail operation, a restaurant, or a website. Technology is a tool that can help you do what you do better. And in Campus CEO, I have a whole chapter called Gaining the Technology Edge, and I go through a whole list of free resources and different websites and tools, technology tools that entrepreneurs can utilize to help them conduct business better. I mean, there's a lot of research that went into that chapter and a lot of really useful tools that are in there.
Yes, and that's why that chapter in particular stuck out to me, again, with a lot of the subscribers that I have. Those are the questions that come up, and sometimes I'm baffled at the fact that we will not embrace the newer technology, as you mentioned in the book, that would help to make our operations become more effective. And so that was something that really stuck out to me, and I really want to point a lot of my subscribers to get the book and to really study that aspect of Campus CEO. As we're dealing with entrepreneurship, and I know that it's a trial and a struggle with what I've tried to do with howtobeablackentrepreneur.com, and I know all of the things that you are doing. What is the most important trait or characteristic that you think a person must have if they are to achieve success as an entrepreneur?
Without question, the answer to there is perseverance. One of the recurring themes that I was able to walk away from writing Campus CEO, because part of the process was interviewing entrepreneurs, particularly young entrepreneurs, and one of the recurring themes throughout those engagements was just the idea that no matter who you are or what you're looking to do, that you're going to run across challenges, roadblocks, obstacles, hurdles, and failure is not falling down. Failure is staying down and not being willing to dust yourself off and get back up. And anyone who believes or anyone who's listening and believes that it's necessarily going to be an easy road, then just take the time to talk to any entrepreneur, including myself, and we'll be the first to tell you it's not easy, and there's no guarantees. But with the perseverance temperament or the temperament of being able to demonstrate resilience and stick-to-itiveness, as some might say, that's the X factor. That's what gets you over the hump.
Great. Now, you also have another chapter, and I guess it kind of links to what you just mentioned about being able to persevere over all of these obstacles and hurdles. Sometimes I run across entrepreneurs who tend to think that mistakes are bad. You have a whole chapter about mistakes that every student entrepreneur makes. Is it safe to say that mistakes are unavoidable?
Well, I can't go so far as to say unavoidable. I'll say that they have not been unavoidable for me. And I haven't come across too many entrepreneurs for whom it has been unavoidable for them either. Now, I would have to believe that there's someone out there sitting in an office, you know, counting their money, who just had it easy and, you know, and just had it was all smooth sailing. But I also would argue that if that person exists or those people exist, that they are few and far between. That if success is what you desire, then failure is, generally speaking, unavoidable. It's one of the things that you hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
Yes, sir. That's great advice. What's next for Dr. Randall Pinkett? I know you have Campus CEO, and I hear about some things that you're doing, online competitions. Could you expound on that a little bit more to help my subscribers get a better grasp of what you're doing with the new book and the upcoming activities?
Sure, Brother Bedford. Basically, for this year, I'm going to be really focused on building BCT partners and certainly promoting Campus CEO. I'm in the midst of my national tour right now, and the listeners can go to campusceo.com to see where I'll be in the upcoming weeks or months. And then, you know, beyond that, I've got some other book projects that I'm working on. The next one that I'll likely release is called Black Faces in White Places. And that is a book, as the name suggests, that provides strategies for people of color who find themselves as one of a few, if not the only person of color in a predominantly white environment, be it a school or a corporation or for entrepreneurs at a boardroom table. And how do you successfully navigate those kinds of institutions and still maintain your identity?
Wow. That sounds like that's going to be – I can't wait to get that book.
There's a lot of really good excitement around that one.
Yeah, I can't wait, because one of the things about entrepreneurship, and the reason I've actually had I've interviewed some great people, and again, I could not even complete this series without including you. I really want you to know that, not simply because you are on The Apprentice, but pretty much based upon what you just mentioned, the way that you handled and conducted yourself, you didn't show any form of intimidation in the boardroom. and so when you just talk about the book that you're coming up with, I think a lot of entrepreneurs, we are intimidated by the processes of business, and I look to you as an example to show us that we can measure up and that we can compete on that type of level. So I really appreciate you for that.
Well, thank you.
What I want to ask you now, if there's any other information that you would like for our subscribers to have, where they can contact you, where they can go and get the book, how should they purchase the book, could you give them that information now?
Absolutely. For the listeners that are looking to find out more about me or get a copy of Campus CEO, they can learn more about the book at campusceo.com. And if you're listening and you're an entrepreneur, or you have a young person in your family, or an entrepreneur in your family, aspiring entrepreneur, then this book is perfect. I would suggest you go out and get it ASAP. Do not delay. Do not be denied. Go to Campus CEO and get a copy. And if you want to learn more about what I'm up to, where I'll be speaking, or just to get updates, you can go to randallpinkett.com. Randall with one L, Pinkett, as it sounds, P-I-N-K-E-T-T. And even there's a contact Randall link. You can reach out to me to say hello or shout me out or let me know what you're up to in your neighborhood.
That's great, man. I really appreciate you, Dr. Pinkett, for giving us this opportunity to take a peek inside of your life and to really see what it takes to be a successful entrepreneur. I'm going to be encouraging all of my subscribers and new subscribers as they come on to, of course, not just go to the site, but to buy the book, underline what they need, highlight it, utilize the book, because it is a roadmap that I believe that would help a lot of us overcome the hurdles that we're experiencing in our businesses. So I will be doing that. And I also mentioned to some of your helpers that I've been getting a tremendous response from some of the interviews, and so we will be compiling the interviews in a format to make it available to people, and so they'll always constantly have your information in their face. I want to make sure that you are amplified, because I believe you're a great example of what it is that we can accomplish here in entrepreneurship.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that, Brother Bedford. Congratulations to you on everything you're doing with the website and with this with this outlet. And I know you're equipping individuals with the tools and the inspiration that they need to take themselves to the next level. So you should be commended as well.
Thank you very much. And I will be reaching out to you people, because I would love to bring you to Detroit, where we need some entrepreneurship going on in Detroit. I know you're very familiar with what's going on with the Big Three, so you have a lot of people who are out of work who haven't looked at entrepreneurship as a viable option. So I'm looking forward to hopefully bringing you to Detroit sometime in the future.
Sounds like a plan. I'll see you in Detroit.
All right. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Brother Bedford. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank you for listening to my conversations with Black millionaire entrepreneurs. And if you want more tips, more strategies, more notifications that would really take you into the mindset of these brilliant Black millionaire entrepreneurs, I need you to take out your phone and text my brother. That's the key word. My brother to 58885. Just text the keyword my brother to 58885. Or if you prefer, you can go online and just go to blackmillionairemindset.com. And once you enter your name and your email, I will immediately send you my video training, 10 Keys to Unlock Your Own Millionaire Mindset. So again, you can go to blackmillionairemindset.com, enter your name and email, and I'll send you the video training, or you can text the keyword, my brother, to 58885, and I'll make sure that you get the video training. This is your brother Bedford, and I look forward to seeing you and hearing from you in the next Conversations with Black Millionaire Entrepreneurs. Take care.